Failure is indispensable to the scientific process, and yet, because of all the emotional baggage we attach to failure, some of that spirit of trial and error is being lost. Carolyn Beeler reports on efforts to get it back.
If you want the truth and you want it now, don't become a scientist.
There is this myth that scientific progress is achieved by some sort of a direct march to the truth, but nothing is actually further from the truth than that.
Mario Livio has lived this truth as an astrophysicist.
Progress is achieved through this zigzag path with many false starts, many blind alleys, so that mistakes and failures are at some level part and parcel of the scientific process.
The kind of people who first discover that the Earth actually rotates around the sun and humans are related to apes have to think way outside the box to get there.
Well, guess what? When you think outside the box, you may make a mistake.
In his book, Brilliant Blunders, Livio wrote about a mistake that Linus Pauling made. Pauling was a chemist who was the first to model protein molecules, and he won the 1954 Nobel Prize.
But when he tried to develop a model for the structure of DNA, he came up with a completely wrong model. He had three strands instead of two. His molecule was built inside out, and it virtually disobeyed some basic rules of chemistry, and this was coming from the greatest chemist to have ever lived.
Pauling's DNA model was all wrong, but it turned out his method of testing it with X-rays, that was all right.
Watson and Crick actually adopted precisely the methods and almost the way of thinking that they actually learned from Pauling.
That's the thing about science. It's iterative. Each scientist building on the failures of the one before in that messy zigzag path to the truth. So science works best when results are shared, even so-called negative results that don't confirm the original hypothesis. But increasingly, these negative results are seen as failures and aren't shared in journals or at conferences. British doctor and advocate Ben Goldacre wants to change that in one field. He's asking the pharmaceutical industry to publish each and every one of its clinical trials. He says when they don't, the consequences can be disastrous.
We saw a very vivid illustration of that in the TGN-1412 trial.
The TGN-1412 trial tested a drug for immune disorders in Britain in 2006. When it was first given to humans, all six men who got it nearly died.
They ended up on intensive care. Their fingers and toes fell off. At the time, everybody thought, oh my God, these people have become very unwell. This was completely unforeseeable. But in actual fact, in retrospect, it turned out that somebody else had tried a treatment like that.
Goldacre wrote in his book Bad Pharma that a similar drug had been tested in a patient who also got sick.
But nobody knew about it because the results of these phase one trials, these first in human trials, are almost never made publicly available.
Most drug researchers in the US now have to share data in a public registry, but compliance is spotty. This week, Goldacre brought his All Trials campaign to the U.S. to increase reporting and get old trials published, too. In the pharma industry, there are billions of dollars tied to the results of clinical trials. Even though the stakes may be lower in other fields, this positive publishing bias exists to varying degrees across disciplines. Swedish science publisher Emma Granqvist says even if no one's health is at risk, there are other reasons to share inconclusive or negative results.
So the most obvious one is indeed to avoid wasted resources. So you don't want another lab at the other end of the world doing exactly this a week later.
Another is to correct the scientific record.
If something has been published on this topic saying A is true and you repeatedly find that A is not true, it's important to share that.
Data in nearly 9 out of 10 published articles in scientific journals around the world and across disciplines support the original hypothesis. Despite what those odds would suggest, that's not because scientists are insanely good at making educated guesses. They're still guessing wrong a lot of the time. Stanford research bias expert Daniele Finelli says that research just doesn't get published.
One of the biggest sources of publication bias, I believe, is the sheer lack of motivation on behalf of authors for writing up results that, in their own eyes, are not as interesting or exciting.
The scientists themselves feel that partly this is a failure because they've hypothesized something and it turns out not to be what they thought.
Grönqvist argues the incentive system in science is out of whack. Many professors have publication quotas, and researchers have to include lists of articles in their grant applications. This all leads to a widely held belief
that funding will come from publishing a lot and from publishing in well-respected journals.
Journals publish very few negative findings.
So, in essence, you know that if you're going to try to get funding for future grants, it's just a waste of time to publish your negative data.
The open data sharing that's good for science may not be good for the careers of individual scientists, and they're beginning to see that as a problem. Open notebook scientists are now logging data in near real time online, so it doesn't have to be published to be shared. Emma Grönqvist is launching a new title at the publishing giant Elsevier this fall called New Negatives in Plant Science.
What it wants to do is mainly two things, and the first is to highlight the issue. The other thing that we want to do is really to provide a platform for plant scientists to publish and share their negative results.
Even the National Institutes of Health is getting in the game. Sally Rocky hands out most of the institute's $30 billion in grants. She says it just changed its applicant CV, or bio sketch.
I think we're trying to change the culture and what we've done with the bio sketch here away from that notion of publish or perish.
Rocky says the old version asked applicants to list 15 publications. The new one requires 5 so-called professional accomplishments that can be annotated with anything from an important data set to a new mouse model.
You may want to demonstrate how often your data is downloaded off your website. There could be a lot of different things that allow you to demonstrate that accomplishment, so not just a publication.
Even reformers say changing the culture of science is going to be hard. But if it makes researchers even a little more likely to try something new without worrying too much about publishing the results, they say it'll be worth it. After all, according to Mario Livio, that's just the way science is.
You should also not be afraid to think outside the box, even if that will occasionally come at the cost of a blunder.
For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.